have a very special guest speaker who needs no introduction in some way, but needs a better introduction than I can give. So with that said, we're going to welcome up Pastor John to introduce our guest speaker for today.
All right, I was looking at the Facebook. It feels like we've known the Dimitrovs for like 10 plus years. You know, it's one of those friendships that seems much longer. And so so this is what I found on Facebook. February 2nd is, Archie here? Here's a 2-2. So 2-2-18, George and Banoff was here. Aaron Horton was here leading worship. And Abina and Miko were here. And so I think that was the first time he shared, I think, some prophetic words as well. And so this dear couple has been here with us at least once a year, maybe twice, once or twice. And the teaching is so good. But we, you know, informally poll people, like, who would you like to speak? You know, Miko's name always comes up. So there's some books in the back. If you want to support their ministry, they just finished Glorious Gospel School. Saw that on the Facebook feed a day ago. Year number one and two. So there's ministry to Bulgaria, right? Yeah, and so I'm sure he's going to share that. So there's some books in the back. If you want to support them, paypal.me/megajoy. Okay? You could do that as well. And so they live no longer in Harrisburg. They live in a better place. I would move to a Clearwater, Florida, too, close to Tampa. I was just thinking, that's clear living water. That's prophetic, too. Clear living water. Beautiful part of Florida. Beautiful water. And so I just want to pray for them, and Mika will come on up, and we're just going to bless this couple. Lord, we just thank you for Miko and Abina. We just thank you for their hunger, their integrity, their just authority and heart for you and your kingdom. And so, Lord, it's our honor to be with them. And we ask that you would speak through them, through Miko, as you've done consistently. Lord, we ask that you would speak revelation unto relationship, unto worship. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for who they are. And we thank you, Lord, for our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Wow. Greetings in the name of Jesus, blessed family. Thank you so much for this great joy and privilege to participate what God is doing with you. And it's a great honor and privilege to step on this platform. And we thank God for his goodness and mercy. And I have to be honest with you. Of course, I have to be honest. You know, we are not liars, but you know that saying. But this praise and worship was like Psalm 23. He refreshes my soul. He takes my soul beside living waters and refreshes my soul. And it's so wonderful because, you know, with all the benefits of the contemporary media, digital stuff, smoke machines and lightings and everything, you know, maybe these things are, you know, part of the contemporary life. I totally agree. But you know what? This worship we experienced was supernatural, was from above, and it was divine, refreshing to my soul and saturating and drenched. And we were translated, definitely translated in the sweet presence of God, where he heals, he restores your soul, he blesses you. And we really need to appreciate these guys, you know, and encourage them to grow up and to mature in the fullness, the capacity God has given them to bless the body of Christ. Amen. We are so thankful, so grateful. Okay, a little updates with our ministry, because we serve a great God. Amen. We don't serve our own intentions. I want to invite my beautiful wife just for a second to share a little bit with what God is doing. Come on, Albina, come up here.
Hello, precious friends. It's such a joy to be with you. And thank you very much, Pastor, and the church, that you are always welcoming us and loving us, being our friends all these 4 years, right? So we heard that your pastors just came back from Macedonia and Turkey, and Bulgaria is the country which is a neighbor country very close to that region. It's a small country, but it's our country. So we love Bulgaria, and during the pandemic, God just put in our hearts to start a Bible school, online Bible school for Bulgarians. And we kind of... Oh, yes, sorry. I forgot the English word. We kind of heard from God and obey and jump in that and started the school with 180 students. We just graduated last week. 180 students of year one and year two, and most of them are, big part of them are pastors, ministers, evangelists, and worshipers, which we believe that this will actually bring a transformation to Bulgaria, because we preach the gospel, and you all know the gospel is the God's power unto salvation. Glory. So what happened, like a testimony, this school year began for us in September, and we enroll, as I told you, year one and year two. So one of the girls which enrolled in year one, when I accepted her application, I saw her picture. She was very skinny, and I saw, oh my gosh, this girl maybe has problems like anorexic or something like that, but didn't ask a lot. And 1 month passed, two, three. So in December 19, I woke up in the morning and check my messages from the students. Always, I have like 10 messages from the students every day. So one of them were her message, and she said, "When I enroll in the school, I didn't tell you, but I was diagnosed with four stage cancer, very aggressive. And the doctors gave me 2 weeks, 15 days. And I was advised by my friends to enroll the school. And I just decided to commit the last days of my life to God and just to be soaked with the Bible, worship, and whatever it is related to God." And she started listening the sessions 10 times per week. We have one session per week, which is like 2 hours, but she will listen that every day, again and again, and worship, and all the posts we post, like stuff there. So she would really commit herself totally to what the school will present to her. So 1 month passed, and second month passed, and on December she had her doctor's visit or check or whatever. She went there, and the doctor said that there is no cancer in her body, which no trace of cancer, no cancer cells. And we never pray for her, but as I told you, the gospel, just proclaiming the truth of the gospel, it's an atomic bomb, if I can say that, which brings salvation. And the Greek word, you know, is sozo, which is not just one day to go to heaven, but it's full, it's completeness, fullness. It includes healing also. So That's the word says he sends his words and heal them. So the word of God has power to transform your life. And we were so happy. And just 3 hours later, it was the same day, December 19, I received another message with the year two student, and we knew that she has breast cancer, and she was like going through that process the previous year, and she also gave praise report, and she said, I just came from the doctor's check, and I'm cancer free. So it was like, oh my gosh, God is... Oh, so good, powerful. And one more thing is like, we had a student which is year one student, and he's a new believer in one of the churches in our capital, Sofia. So he enrolled in the school. Someone just recommended the school, and he had a problem with alcoholism, and he would fight with that and for years. And just on the second month in the school, just listening the gospel, he testified, he gave his testimony that... one morning he woke up and he said, I didn't have any desire to drink. And he said, every morning I would wake up with the thought of the drink and I have to drink. And that's something which was possessing me. And now... every time I wake up thinking about Jesus and his goodness, and he is completely free like 6-7 months since then. Thank you.
Yeah, praise God. So good. So good. Yeah, it's exciting. We need to share those things because we are serving and believing one and the same God. One and it's not another... part of the kingdom. No, it's the same God, it's the same Father, and we're expecting the same results to manifest in our personal lives. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I had this glorious manifestation in the beginning of the school year of oil manifesting on my hands, and that was in the beginning of September. And it was, it was a blessed time to see that God is confirming with signs and wonders, you know, our lives. And then at the end of December, God gave it to me again, you know, like I was able even to make a picture. And that oil manifested on my hands while I was sitting on my couch, you know, and preparing for the school. It just bursted out. And why God would do anything like that? What is the purpose of this? The purpose is that the reality of God is not intended and appointed to remain only in the spiritual, but to intervene and manifest in the natural also, with all kind of different manifestations. There is no formula for that, okay? For you, it can be joy, it can be healing, it can be just strength and power and revival and all kind of things. But that oil for us was a confirmation that God's finger is in the school, and what we are preaching and doing, he is pleased with it. So it was great. And we're just sharing those things to cross-pollinate and to stir up your hunger and expectation, like a good reminder. Hey, God is still doing those things. Okay, God is still in the salvation business, in the blessing, in the healing, in everything which is in the Bible. Praise God. Amen. Okay, so let me go and share the word God gave me. This is not an information only, okay? Would you agree with me that this is not going a presentation of dry information, analytical, okay? I believe that the word of God, as Jesus said, my words are spirit and life.
Okay, so sharing these words, I believe they will penetrate and go deeper into your heart and will touch your spirit and will create something which is a spiritual reality of newness of life in you. And also they will affect your life, not only your understanding and your knowledge as good as it is, but the final result will manifest in a transformation which will affect your personal life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So let me start with that. Do you remember Genesis chapter 1? Out of this world. You know, there is no book like that. No book, no other source of information will present the beginning, the creation as it was. Amen. All the other stuff is just like interpretations of human confusion and stuff like that. But the Bible is giving us the original beginning of the creation. I still remember when I was in Bulgaria during the communism. I didn't know anything about God, Jesus, church, Bible, gospel, you name it. You know, it was total atheism and darkness. But I was so empty. Although I was young, I had every privilege, you know, for the natural life. And yet there was this emptiness, these questions for the meaning of life. And in my struggle, it was a very long journey, you know, but in my struggle, God brought me to a house of an old lady where I was able to find a Bible, and actually she gave it to me. I saw that Bible in her kitchen and opened it, and I realized this is the holy book I've heard exist. And there were no Bibles in Bulgaria at that time. The communists burned everything. And I was looking for one because someone told me that I can find the answer in the Bible, you know, but no, nothing like that. And finally, I'm in this kitchen and I saw the Bible. I opened it. The lady came in the kitchen. She said, "Oh, you can have it. I'm too old to read it. I used to go to a Pentecostal church when I was young. The communists took over. They burned everything. But I kept that Bible secretly with me, you know, till this day. You can have it if you want it." And I went back home and I started from the book of Genesis. I didn't start with the Gospel of John. There was no one beside me to tell me you should start with the Gospel of John, as good as it is for a beginning. And I opened the first page, the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I immediately realized this is the person who is responsible for my existence. I should listen to him. I should read that book. This book will tell me and give me the answers. Amen. So how wonderful it develops that God is creating in order. Do you understand that? He doesn't start upside down. He doesn't start in confusion. He starts in divine order. First of all, he creates light. Oh, and this is not the artificial light, material, physical light of this world, the material world as the sun, as good as it is. It was light of divine origin. It was the dimension of God released and flooded this material world, which was marked with darkness and chaos and confusion, with light. Everything starts first with the light of God. And then he started calling one after another by the power of his word, one after another in divine order, in such a manner that every creature or everything which would appear on the scene will take its right place, you know, without lacking, without confusion, without, you know, disorder. How wonderful is that? But this is the important thing which I saw. Every time God would create something, let's say a living creature, let's say God is creating first the sea creatures. He's talking to the water. He's calling on the water. Let the water
to be abundance of creatures in the water. And immediately the water starts producing it. It is filled. It is abounding with these sea creatures of all kind, you know, which are beyond our capability to count. And then he doesn't stop there. He sees every sphere of this creation capable to manifest life. Wow! And now he's able to bring life to the waters. And we see these living creatures. Then he turns to the air and he sees. Only God was capable and able to see that magnificent capacity to create life and give life to every sphere. Can you understand that? How can we create anything like that? You know, by his commandment, he commands the air to be filled with birds, the birds of the air. Then he sees the earth and he commands the cattle, the living creatures and animals. He talks to the earth, to the ground, to the dust of the ground. And so every sphere manifest with life and living creatures in order, you know, following the order and the commandment of God, you know, talking to them. And then the crown of the creation, the human being, me and you, how were we created? Do you remember when God created man, to whom he spoke? Man was not appointed to belong to the sphere of the air, to the sphere of the water, to the sphere of the earth. When God created man, he turned to himself. Wow! God spoke to himself. He turned to the Trinity in him and he said, now, after everything was ready and perfect, let us wow, let us create, let us produce, let us make, let us bring forth the man after our own image and after our own likeness. How amazing, unthinkable is that? What does it teach us? What does it teach us? It teaches us that man originally was not created to belong to the earth, to the sea, to the air, whatever. You know, man originally was intended and created with the intention to belong, to depend to the very nature and spirit of God. And we went too far from him, you know, with the fall. That's why something is not quite right with the humanity, even today, with all the political correctness, with all the moral, with all the ethical stuff. We are trying to bring forth, you know, goodness and order and everything. We are still behind and still lacking, because without God, let me tell you, we are not able to function properly. Oh, praise God. God turned to himself and created man to live in God, for God, through God, and be dependent on the Lord. Now, let me give you an example. I don't want to go too, abstract with my teaching. Have you ever seen these YouTube movies, or maybe one of you have been in a situation like that? But let's say a sea creature could be a big fish like dolphin, or how you call these, like a shark or whale, orcas even. You know, sometimes for some weird reasons, they would go out and be, on the beach. And, you know, no fish is intended to remain alive outside of the sphere it is created to live in and function. And immediately when humans who are close on the beach, they see that fish struggling and fighting for life, they would start helping pushing, you know, and making everything possible to bring it where? To bring it back to the sphere where it belongs. And if it's too big, sometimes a big fish like a whale would be thrown out on the beach. They are not able, you know, by the human efforts and power to push it back. So they take water from the sea and splash, and they take like blankets or materials which will cover the fish, and they will water these materials, this fabric with water. They can keep it wet. Reminds me of the Old Testament. Reminds me of the Old Testament because man, when with the fall, we were separated. We were expelled out of the sphere. Originally, we were created to function, and we were marked with that separation and spiritual death. And the only way man would be able to continue to survive is to receive seasons of visitations, splashes from the source of life spilled over our hearts and minds as a reminder, as the continuation of until the day of the redemption will come, these splashes of the Holy Spirit, of the Word of God by prophets and ministers would be poured out on the nation of Israel, on some, even on some Gentiles, you know, in the mercy of God. But do you realize that this was not the original plan of God? We had to be brought back just like these fish on the beach to the sphere where we belong. Otherwise, this cannot be called a real life. It is just a survivor mode. It is just something temporary until the promise for the Redeemer will come and be fulfilled. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is us. How wonderful was the day when Jesus rose from the dead. Whew, do you remember? And he appeared to his disciples. And the first words, do you remember? I really believe the first things in the Bible, as the, maybe you have heard about the law of the first mention, the first pronunciation of things as a principal thing. And he appeared to his disciples. And the first things he proclaims over them is like, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Why is this so important? Because, you know, God is what? God is love, God is light, yes. But most of all, his nature consists of, it's of spiritual nature. And God is a spirit. And if we have to belong to him, to be restored unto him, and to be united with him, we had to receive back and again the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God. Without the Spirit of the living God, there is no life. You cannot tell, you cannot call it life. The Bible says, and in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, and God breathed the Spirit of life, his Spirit, in the nostrils of that formation of dust, and man became a living creature, a living soul, by the Spirit. He breathed into this material formation. And when Jesus finished his work so gloriously, and when Jesus rose from the dead and triumphing over sin, over death, and most of all, over the separation of humanity with God, because when he died on the cross, what happened? He said, "It is finished," and the veil of the temple was torn apart into from the top to the bottom. The way back was open to the Holy of Holies. God the Father was ready to receive us back, restored to him without any barrier, any limitation, because of the great price which was paid on the cross. It covered and it paid every righteous demand of God for us. And Jesus now is meeting his disciples. And the first release is like in the book of Genesis with Adam. The first act of God creating and you know, bringing forth the human creature. He breathed the spirit in the nostrils of Adam. Now Jesus, the Bible says, released his breath. He breathed upon them. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Wow. Born from above. Okay. You cannot enter in the kingdom of God, Jesus says to Nicodemus, until you are born. The original language says born from above. Not just born anew. Yeah, you are. It's a new birth, definitely, but it is from above, from God the Father, and he goes, I am ascending to my God and to your God, and I am ascending to my Father and to your Father. That day, that great proclamation from Jesus, that God, the heavenly Creator God, the whole universe became your Father. Do you understand what Father means? It's more than religious belief. It's more than religious conviction. Do you understand that we believe God? That's awesome. That's great. But the God we believe, we proceeded out. He gave a birth to our spirit. He really became our Father. He adopted us and he became our Father by whose spirit we are born anew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, with this fish I was talking about, do you understand how dependent is every creature to the realm he was intended to function? In the same way, there is no properly a functioning Christian life without being in God, being in dependence of God, and functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that human intellect, as good as it is, human analytical logic and knowledge and all these things, they need to be subject and serve the great intentions, power, ability, wisdom, love, joy, and light, and holiness of God himself. Thank you, Jesus. And there is no supernatural life. There is no supernatural life available for us, but only putting us in dependence of the source of this life, who is God himself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love how Jesus put it in the Gospels. But you see, I am a minister, and I want my ministry to be powerful. I want my ministry to be successful. I want my ministry to be influential. And there is no other way for that but to pursue and constantly surrender and constantly give place to God in my personal life. I'm in total dependence, because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And it's interesting that he doesn't say you cannot do anything, but he says you can do nothing, which means you can do something, but it will be considered as nothing until you are in dependence of him. thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, I have a sentence here. Jesus didn't give us a method, a system, or a strategy. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And that's powerful. You see, we are dependent on the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, because he said, wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from above. I am sending
and I am sending the promise of the Father. And they had to wait and wait till the day of the Pentecost. God is a God of order, of seasons. Everything functions in a perfect harmony. The appointed day, the fullness of time. You know, Jesus came, then the Holy Spirit was sent. They had to wait. And they waited 120 people in the upper room. And God sent for those who waited, for those who were ready to be clothed with that obedient to Jesus. God sent His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit took over their lives. And now we see that amazing transformation taking place with human lives and personalities and characters. Talking about Peter, do you remember how unsuccessful Peter was? You know, the yo-yo effect, one day up, one day down. He was constantly, you know, going astray. But on the day of the Pentecost, we see another Peter. I want to prophesy right now for another James, for another John, for another, the one whom God created and called out for His purposes, clothed from above with the power of God. We are all born in weakness. We are all born in some kind of limitations. But when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, God clothes you with Himself. And now you are equipped. You are equipped with a gear, supernatural gear. You became a tool in the hand of the God, empowered by His wisdom, by His knowledge, by His supernatural power which knows no limitations. You see, I love the Old Testament because that's the way I was converted, reading through the Old Testament. And before to reach the New Testament, I was totally overwhelmed by the power which the glory of the Old Testament reveals. Let's take, for example, Samson. Yes, Samson made some mistakes, definitely. But give me a break. I just cannot imagine. He never went to the gym. He never had a protein drink. He was not eating sprouts of this and sprouts of that. Come on. He was ordinary man. Say amen. Ordinary, okay? But beside being ordinary, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will come upon him and seize him, and now he turns into a supernatural, superhuman, beyond human, and now he is capable of doing things which everyone from the enemy knew that there must be a secret, because a human like that cannot do these acts and these deeds he was performing. The city gates, do you remember he took the city gates on his shoulders and carried them on the top of a mountain peak, you know, like, give me a break. These are not the doors of your bathroom, you see. These are the city gates. They are heavy, they are solid, they are with iron and locks. And he took them on his shoulders because you know, they tried to trap him in the city. And he had a breakthrough, but instead of just going through the gates, he took them and placed them. So the city actually became gateless, open. And I believe that's a sign of Jesus, prophetic sign that Jesus overcome and prevailed against the gates of hell. Amen? And through Golgotha and stuff like that. But yeah, that's in the Old Testament. And I go like, we had to once in our life, we had to move from Harrisburg to Florida, and we had to pack everything, and there was no one beside me and Albena to help us, and we have this king size mattress and all kind of big stuff, and I had to carry through a very little narrow space through stairs. And that morning I remember I prayed for Samson and Samson's anointing upon my flesh. Yes, seriously, I knew I needed it. And say, if you were with Samson, now you come and be with me, with my physical body, not only with my theology. Please be with my body also. And we did it victoriously, I'm telling you. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Isn't that? Why should we try? Why should we try since Jesus said a branch cannot produce fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine? Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Hey, praise God. How wonderful is this? How wonderful is this promise? How wonderful is this warning, I would say. You know, so that's why we pray. It's not a religious activity and demand of God to please God. No, we need God. That's why we pray. Why we read the Bible? You read the Bible and you go to how you like it. Three more chapters? More anointing? You'll give me more anointing if I read? No, that's a religious mindset. You see, you can read the whole Bible. He has already given you everything and has blessed you. You need not to run through the pages. You need to eat that bread. You need to eat that champion's breakfast, you know. You need to read the word so you will abide in the Lord. You will abide in his words. And you will abide in him and your mind will be transformed and constantly sustained with the power. For the day. I cannot, of course I can, but it's my daily routine. I wake up early in the morning and I have a custom. Every morning I would make my declaration. I will stand my ground. I will make my confessions. And someone say, that's very religious. You know, that's very methodical. Where's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is taking over my natural mind. I need to fix my mind for the day. Okay? As the way you wash your face with water, that's how I wash my brain, my natural mind every morning with the living waters of the Holy Spirit to refresh and to awake my senses to the power of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For time's sake, I want to read the wonderful scriptures from Galatians and then we will go to Zechariah 4 and we'll finish with that. Galatians 3:5. This is Paul talking. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you. Oh, how powerful, how wonderful is this scripture. He who supplies the Spirit to you. I'm telling you, living in a city like that, a lot of supply comes on a daily basis. Amen? We need that. We need these trucks. We need this constant supply to be taken from the farms, from the foreign lands, whatever, and they bring it and they dump it here and it is dispersed all over the city and we go and we take and we supply our personal needs and lives. You know, there's something very sad going on currently. There's a lack of baby food, you know, for the infants, which is a great dependence. Okay, but imagine, because the Bible says desire as babies, as little children, the unadulterated spiritual milk, so you may grow up in everything unto him. How the spiritual dependence. And you see, the Bible says through Paul, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Wow, thank you, Lord. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. You see, God supplies something to you, and then the result is supernatural, miraculous, victorious life over your circumstances and limitations. And He supplies what? He supplies wisdom. He supplies knowledge. He supplies guidance. He supplies courage. He supplies faith. He supplies hope. He supplies joy. He supplies sustenance. He supplies everything. How it comes to you? By the Holy Spirit. He supplies the Holy Spirit to you. As Paul says in Corinthians, but you have not received the spirit of this world, but you have received the Spirit of God, so you may understand and you may perceive and obtain and embrace what God has granted freely to each and every one of you. The only way we can understand God, we can receive from God, and we can deal with God is not on intellectual level, although those included, but mostly by the Holy Spirit and by your spirit being united with God, who is spirit. And the Paul says, the one who is united with God is one spirit with Him. One spirit with Him. One spirit with Him is Christianity. Praise God. You see how wonderful and works, miracles, mighty deeds among you. Are you ready for that? I want to prophesy mighty miracles, acts, and deeds of God, supernatural victories and breakthroughs beyond your human ability, beyond your human power and strength. Honestly, we don't have strength for everything and power to accomplish everything. Many times we even struggle in our physical lives, but the Bible says, I can do, I can go for all things, and I can do all things through the one who strengthens, who empowers, who gives life and strength to my physical body, to my mental strength, and whatever it is included in the soul. And most of all to my spirit, praise God. I want to finish with the vision of Zechariah chapter 4. I want to pray for you. Okay. Oh, give me a few more minutes. Zechariah chapter 4, it's an amazing scripture, friends. It is an amazing scripture. Let me go there and read chapter 4. Then the prophet says, now the angel who talked with me came back and awakened me as a man who is awakened out of his sleep. Now, wasn't he awakened already? Amen. He was, definitely. It means that he was awakened to the reality of the spiritual realm, of the spiritual dimension and reality. And that's what I want to pray over us. That we are so overwhelmed with this natural, physical frame of our dimension that somehow we're deceived by our five senses that this is the finite reality. No, it's not the true reality. You must be awakened unto it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit. I pray that He will come and awaken your spirit to the more glorious and more greater reality. And what does that reality present and shows to Zechariah? The angel said, what do you see? Let me ask you, what do you see when God awakens and opens your perceptions to this great reality? And I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold, not a regular one, with a bowl on the top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by the lampstand, one on the right of the bowl, one on the left. And he saw that vision. He saw that representation. And then he's totally bewildered. He doesn't know how to interpret. He never seen anything like that before. And he asked the angel, what is that? What is this all about? And the angel explains and give him the explanation. Like these two olive trees which are emptying the golden substance of the oil in the bowl on the top are the two anointed ones of God. Okay? And let me, for time's sake, just interpret that in the light of the New Testament. A lampstand in the Bible, in the New Testament, most of all, will point to the church. Say amen to that. And it's made of gold, which means divinity. We, the church, are made of God. We have His nature in us. We are born of Him. And we are that golden lampstand, which is presented seven times in the book of Revelation. Jesus is walking amongst the lampstands, and He is calling the churches in Revelation like a lampstand. Okay, so what we see in this Zechariah's case, okay, the church is the lampstand, but do you see that there is a bowl, there is a container on the top of which the lampstand is receiving and obtaining the anointing and the golden oil? Who is this bowl? Who is this head? Who is this container source which is appointed to be the source and the head of the church? It is Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Okay, so you see how the church and the believers, as in this vision, we are so dependent to not go empty, but to be filled with the golden substance of the anointing, the power, and the Spirit of God. But how does it come? You see, seven pipes are pointed to go for every branch, for every cup. Seven pipes go out of the bowl and they reach out to every part of the lampstand. You are connected, praise God. You are plugged in to the source, to the head, who is Jesus Christ. And someone would say, but why two olive trees? Why two sources? Let me explain that very quickly. In this case, in the Old Testament, the angel is talking about the restoration of Israel by two offices taking power. One of them is related to the civil sphere, and he is appointed to be a king, okay? And the second one is appointed to be a priest. One of them was Joshua, the priest. The second one was Zerubbabel, who was the governor. So we see two offices. The governor and the high priest, God will use these personalities and will anoint them with oil, and they will pour out their ministry and their ability in the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel will be restored and brought back to function in power. Okay, what do we have in the New Testament? Now we have the church, which consists of one new man, say amen. Jewish people, Gentiles, we are all made one new man. But don't forget, Jesus has two offices. Jesus, who is the head and who is the source, has two offices. He has two, execution powers in him. Jesus is king and priest. Amen. Jesus is not only a priest, Jesus is also a king. Don't forget that Jesus is coming on earth and he will reign as a political and social king over the nations. Praise God. He is not only related to, and the second office, he is a priest, he is a mediator between us and God. I pray this morning for each and every one of you. You can lift up your hands or just put your hands on your heart. I pray for that golden substance which is emptying itself. The Bible says they are emptying themselves in the cup, in the bowl, and it disperses and goes through the pipes. I pray
I pray the law of the communicating vessels. They are, if they are linked to each other, these vessels, if they're connected to each other, whatever is found in the main source will go down and will equalize the level in every other vessel. Whatever is found in Christ, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, let it come freely. Nothing is preventing you to drink from the well, to drink from the source, to receive from the Holy Spirit and from Christ. I declare in the name of Jesus, pour out your anointing, Lord, and give it to your people. Empower them for these last days. They will shine like stars in the darkness. They will be light in the world and salt in the world. And I declare, Jesus said, the works of God for the blind man. That question, why? Because of which sin he is born blind? And Jesus, his answer is that the works of God might be manifested in him. I declare over you that the old sinful life and limitations and downfalls and everything is over. Now you have a heavenly assignment that the works of God might be manifested for victory, for life abundant, for power and strength, and overcoming over every circumstance and limitation, so the works of God might be manifested in our lives and still in this world appointed unto salvation. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord's name be blessed forever and ever. Thank you so much for this great, great privilege to be with you. And Pastor John.